Everyone in their life faces criticisms of some sort. I was teasing Ed earlier that he must have read my notes because he was saying things that were basically what I had outlined for the lesson this morning. There are always going to be things that don't go right. There are always going to be times when it feels like nothing's going right. Nobody is happy with what you're doing. Nobody is satisfied. And people find fault with what you do. Criticism, whether it's justified or not, isn't always pleasant to receive. Rarely is. You're just not doing that right. You should have done that better. Well, he's better than you are at that. However you look at it, people find fault with what you do. And it hurts. It hurts when someone who's never done your job or is just learning your trade tells you you're not doing your job right. It really hurts when someone who isn't even living a Christian life starts pointing out the mistakes that you make. You're a Christian and you act like that? Or I thought you were supposed to be righteous or something. As painful as it may be, we need to listen to criticism, no matter where the source comes from. Now, not all sources are equal, but we do need to listen to it. What you're being told might not be from a pure motive, but you need to ask whether they're accurately pointing out that you have a problem that you're ignoring. See, too often we don't face the real truth because it involves us. And we rather think of ourselves as good, think of ourselves as being right, and we don't often think about the fact that sometimes we do things wrong. Yet in Proverbs chapter 9, and in verse 9, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." There is always something that I can learn. There's always something more that I can improve on. None of us are perfect, so there's therefore room for me to grow. Now, yes, it is easier to take rebukes from somebody whom you respect, somebody that you know cares about you. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes 7 verse 5, it says, "It is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than to listen to the song of fools." There are some people that just take a lot of pleasure out of poking at you, finding fault with you, and try to make your day miserable. But there are people who do have your best interests in mind and are trying to help you improve. And so we need to listen to those rebukes, understanding they're not always equal. There are some people who criticize you solely to bring you down. Over in Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs 27 and verse 5, it says, "Better is an open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." There are people out there who like to see you pulled down. I remember getting a note from a young girl who's been writing to me for quite a while. And she got really upset because she was doing some work with some older people and she was really getting into it and she was really happy about it. And then some girl comes up to her and says, "Well, you realize nobody likes you anyway." And just ruined her day. Because she couldn't get that thought out of her head. One thing I'm pointing out is she has to realize where the source was coming from. It had nothing to do with what she was doing. This was particularly a person who was just trying to make her feel bad. But we have to understand where things come from. We need to see what they are. The motivation behind it is, But we also need to see if there is something that might be something we can do to improve ourselves as well. Now, sometimes you'll get advice from people and it's just plain dumb advice. But that's because there are foolish people in the world around us. Over in Proverbs 16 and verse 22. Proverbs 16 and verse 22 says, "Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have, to the one who has it. But the discipline of fools is folly." What foolish people think is making you a better person is not always the best for you. So we have to use our heads. We have to think about what's being said. But also what I want you to walk away with is the idea that you don't always reject what somebody says. However dumb, however foolish, however much they're trying to backstab you, do think about what it is that you can improve as far as what's being said. Because our aim should always be to please God. Not to please men, but to please God. And if I'm doing something wrong as far as what God says, there is something I need to change. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 3, says, "For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority." Paul's saying we're teaching God's word because it was God's word. There was no falsehood behind it. There was no insincerity. There was no other motivation than he was trying to instruct people in what God said. We need to live our lives in that same way. We need to look at what people are saying and see if there's a grain of truth in what's being said. Now, maybe you won't find one. But if there's some place I can improve, then shouldn't I do that? If there's something I can do to make myself better before God, then I should do that. But it's so easy to get annoyed at criticism, especially when it, from your point of view, it comes from the wrong source. But don't let your anger cause you to miss an important point. When somebody tells you, as a Christian, you're not doing as you ought to do, think about what it's saying. Especially when it comes from an unbeliever. These people then think that Christians ought to be better than themselves. In other words, Christianity has made an impact in their lives. They aren't living up to it. They're not doing it. But at least have the idea that Christians ought to be better than the rest of the world. Now, yes, it's tough sometimes to be held up to that standard. But isn't that what we ought to be striving for anyway? We should be concerned about how we shine our lights in the world. In Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven." We ought to shine out. We ought to be different from the rest of the world. And we ought to want to be high quality lights. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 5. And I wrote down the wrong verse. We'll get it straightened out here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. So you shall will prove yourselves to be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. We are there to shine out in the world around us, so that people might see what Christianity ought to be like, that people might see what it is to follow Christ. And yes, sometimes people have an idea of what Christianity ought to be, and they hold us to that standard. Now, sometimes you also have people that taunt you because they look at you as being better than they are. And they know that they're not quite as good. And so really what they want is to pull you down to their level. They like to be able to say, hey, you call yourself a Christian, and you know what? I act better than you do. Because then they justify to themselves that being better isn't important. Or because they already see that they're good enough or better than you are. And thus the critic finds justification for his own sins. I can't tell you how many times when I have to talk to somebody about what their problems are, oftentimes the conversation will go to, well, he does this. Well, okay. But what does that have to do with your problem? And that's what oftentimes when we get criticism, people like to say, well, you do this, so my sin's not so bad. No, sin is sin, and it's something we all need to improve on. Along with that, we got to be careful not to fall in the trap of saying nobody's perfect. Something we hear all the time, and it is a true statement, nobody is perfect. But is it a Christian's goal to be satisfied with not being perfect? Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours by ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Where's our goal then? We're striving to be as holy as God is holy. None of us are going to make that lofty goal. None of us are going to become as holy as God. But still we're supposed to strive for it. Still that is our aim in our lives. But because, think about it this way, because I can't reach the level of holiness that God has, does that mean that God needs to come down to my level? Or do I need to still reach above myself? It's always the latter. When someone points out flaws in another person, does that mean that other person says, well, nobody's perfect? As if to say, well, I need to just go ahead and be like everybody else? Perhaps we should reach up and say, well, you're right. I need to improve. See, just because criticism comes from the wrong source, if it points out an actual flaw, we need to correct it. Over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John 1, verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. See, we got to remember we're striving to please God, not men. God is the one who tells us the difference between right and wrong. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul points that out. After scolding the Galatians for corrupting the gospel, in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 10 it says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Just because someone tells you you're wrong, it doesn't make it right or wrong. And our goal is not to make everybody around us happy with what we do. Our goal is to make God pleased with how we behave. If someone sees something I'm doing wrong, then I need to correct it, if it is what God says is wrong. If somebody just doesn't like what I'm doing, well, my goal is not to please men, it's to please God. And knowing that we're doing what is right then gives us confidence to live in this world. Going back to 1 John, this time to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our hearts before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Therein lies our confidence. I'm doing what God tells me to do. It's not that I'm trying to please everybody around me, but doing what God says is right. We need to understand that unjust criticism oftentimes comes from envy of what you've obtained so far. Oftentimes, envy of a person puts them against the truth. In James chapter 3, James chapter 3 and verse 14. James 3 and verse 14, it says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. It's hard to keep following God when we're being motivated by envy or by jealousy or selfish ambitions. But we also need to understand that all of us have a weakness in that area. We all fall prey to that same motivation. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and in verse 21 we read, and also do not take seriously all words which are spoken, so that you will not hear your servant cursing you. For you also realize that you likewise have many times cursed others. There are times when people do not say nice things about you. Well, guess what? You probably have not said nice things about other people either. just because they're having a bad day, just because they might be envious of what you are doing or what you've attained, don't take their words to heart. See, there might be a glimmer of something you can improve, but don't take it to heart just because somebody criticizes you. If they gloat over something that really is a problem for you, then take the wind right out of their sails. Tell them, yeah, you're right. I need to work on that. See, the whole reason there a lot of times people tell you things is to make you feel bad. To embarrass you. To cause you discomfort. But all you have to do is say, hey, you're right. I do need to work on that. You know what that does to that person? It now acknowledges that you know there is a problem and you're willing to work on that. It also acknowledges that you're human. But it also says that you and the critic both need to live by a higher standard. See, living in this world, so often when we get a criticism, first thing we want to do is justify ourselves. First thing we want to do is make sure that I come out looking good. That's the wrong motivation too. Whatever we say, whatever we do, it should be to the benefit of other people. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 29, Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Always think about what benefits other people. It's not to anyone's benefit if I'm denying the fact that I have a problem. But let's work at trying to improve everyone, including ourselves. When we see that someone has bad motives for criticizing us, that they're just nitpicking, that they're trying to bring us down, that they might be full of jealousy or envy, then we ought to pray for that person. They need help. They need God's help. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We need to be like our Father and treat everyone equally. Not everyone's going to treat us equally. Not everyone's going to be fair. When I was down south this last week, that was one of the topics of conversation. Real soon, one boy wanted to know, well, why is everybody being unfair? It's kind of sad to tell a young man that, well, guess what? Grown-ups aren't always right. And they don't always do what is right and fair. But in response, we respond always with fairness. We always justify what's right, not justifying ourselves. Finally, in Proverbs chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9, and in verse 8, it says, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. A wise man knows he always has room to grow. He always has room to improve. The scoffer will make fun of whatever you say, no matter how much you might try to help him. We need to be wise people. We're going to get good criticism. We're going to get bad criticism. Whatever it comes our way, let us be people who always strive to be better people in God's sight. That's what we should be aiming for. I hope you'll think about those things. If there's anyone here today who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God and like the prayers of the congregation on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Selecting.